Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of Glee 2024.
In this special collection of episodes, we'll be sharing over 20 interviews that we recorded live from our podcast booth at Glee this year, offering fresh insights from the innovators and trailblazers that keep the garden sector growing.
So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
In the first of our post-Glee pods, we'll be hearing from three people who mould the Glee experience. Later, we'll be hearing from Glee director Matt Meehan and also Linda Patrons from Greenfingers Charity, who will be giving us the lowdown on the Floral Thursday. But first, the man behind the Future Plants display, part of the Green Heart at Glee. We hope you enjoy our conversation with friend of the show, Mr. Plant Geek himself, Michael Perry.
Hey, how's
Hi,
it going?
Hi, Michael.
I'm so excited, and you too, I have to say. You're so cute. I've not met you together in real life yet.
Oh, and you are just, yeah.
And I think you could be Ellen and I's stunt doubles or something. Or maybe we're your stunt doubles. Who knows?
Absolutely. Who knows? Stunt double.
So, Michael, you're here at Glee this year, and you're here doing the Future Plants. Perhaps you could start off by telling us a little bit about what that actually is for anybody who doesn't know.
Of course. So we've got the plant area here at Glee, which last year was in the atrium outside, but today it's got a lovely prominent position in Hall 10, which is wonderful. So you've got about 10 to 15 plant suppliers over there, and then you've got my Future Plants display, which is basically a big, two black big plinths. Covered with floating plants, which we've erected onto a lovely black background, and that really shows off the plants to their potential. And there are 50 new, different and unusual plants. It's called Future Plants, but that's perhaps a little bit misleading, because it's not only things in the future, but it's also stuff that may have been overlooked, or maybe maybe different ways the market is going as well. Things that haven't really, you know, had as much exposure as they could, and as well as new things that are launching this season, and also things that are kind of a little bit of sneak peeks as well. So it's 50 very interesting plants, all the way through from house plants to tree ferns.
So are these things that you've curated yourself?
Absolutely. Fantastic. So I've been curating over the last few months. We did it for the first time last year at Glee, which was in June, which obviously brought a very different kind of a season
of
availability as well. So here in September, we've got lovely range of bedding plants, patio plants, new succulents, house plants, foliage plants. It's really, it looks really good, actually. And then they're not at all in any sort of order. Okay. It's really kind of mixed up to kind of draw your eye and kind of show you the most, you know, interesting stuff possible as well. And it's really to pique your interest in plants.
You keep saying we. Who's the we?
I don't know. I say everything is we.
It's the royal we.
I guess we of we of Glee.
I wondered if there was a grower you were working with. So these are these, you have chosen all these plants yourself. Right.
Yeah. I tend to refer to everything as we. I think it's a way of like keeping your ego in check. yeah, obviously working with different European breeders, but also almost worldwide breeders as well, because we've got the first editions Eclipse Hydrangea with the black leaves, which I gave you one to take home last night.
And kept they're out. No, they're here. They're out.
Good.
Out here.
Yep, sneak peek. Yep. I gave you two, actually. Maybe you share one with Phil.
He'll just kill it.
But that is actually from Bailey's Nursery in America. So, we're kind of going quite far afield. And we're on the second year now with Future Plants at Glee, and I think more and more people are wanting to then have their plants showcased in this way as well. And I've been doing tours twice a day, and it's kind of like you can also navigate yourself as well. And it's just really to get people excited about plants. And that's what I do every day, all day,
you
every day.
You certainly do. And that's one of the things that Glee has taken a little while of getting around to, hasn't it? It's because most people here, it's about the, you know, they are, it's to do with gardens, and people have plants in their gardens.
Yeah. Of course.
There used to be no plants. So this is something you've kind of really helped hype up is, you know, gardening's about plants.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously with Boyd here as well, he's brought in some of the different growers and kind of made sure you've got that full garden center experience, really, because the plants are integral to that.
So you know,
even if they are only 50% sometimes, they're still important.
Of course they are. Yeah. And is the hope the buyers will then put in orders, or they will then, do they go through you? How does it work?
Well, it's just really to pique their interest and show them what's available in the marketplace. They might then go, they could go directly to obviously the growers, because I speak about those in the presentations, or we've got a few plants that have come from the growers that are actually in the green heart here at Glee, so they can then pop off there and then order them straight away, like the tree ferns. We've got some aquatics there as well, some of the more drought tolerant plants. Suntory are here with their lovely breeding from Japan, with the Sundeville, the Nemesia, the Cataranthus as well. So yeah, it's kind of
I'll be testing you later.
So you can get inspired and and take that further.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, such a difficult question. There are definitely some standout plants on the displays. Penicetum tiny tails is very nice.
Oh, very nice.
Agastache belicious. Belicious pink is very, very nice too.
And a great plant for pollinators as well.
Absolutely.
One of the best.
Coleus, the new Coleus, aka Plectanthus skeletal.
Right.
Is very nice. Very popular as well with the consumer. Also some of the other Coleus, the Mystical series coming through from Florensis is very nice. I could go on all day.
Of course you could, I love the groundbreaking, the groundbreaker hydrangea.
Oh, yes,
really cool.
And getting a lot of interest as well. And it kind of does what it says on the tin, it's ground cover hydrangea. But oddly, it was one that they're almost going to reject. And sometimes the best new plants come through that kind of story, really. I don't know if you know the Escalonia pink L. It was actually found on a French nursery, just kind of abandoned in the corner. Same with Daphne Eternal Fragrance. Some of these big shrub top sellers,
ones that are
things that almost were lost to history,
rejected,
or stood on accidentally.
I know that feeling. So are you doing any talks this year? Because last year you did one of the panel shows, is that right?
Yeah, we did a really great panel discussion last year.
With the balcony gardener, is that right, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. And this year I'm doing a presentation on like social media marketing in the 2020s.
So
talk about how to use social media in the best way, different ways to market as well, because we always think, oh, it's all about Instagram or Facebook, but no. You could advertise for a podcast.
Yeah.
You could advertise through Substack newsletters, but also real life. We forget about real life.
What?
Pop-ups, you know, collaborations, kind of like maybe sponsoring a stage at a flower show, you know, getting your plants on TV. You know, there's so many different ways to work that we forget about sometimes.
Well, talking about pop-ups, we've had the people from the Talent Store on the podcast. So they were on
Brilliant Space,
haven't they just? And I know that you were involved in actually doing some mentoring for that. And you spoke to the whole team of them. They had a day where they met you and Debbie Flower Day as well.
And Boyd as well.
And Boyd.
So
tell us a little bit about your involvement there and what sort of things you were talking to them
it's
about.
It's mostly kind of Debbie and Boyd's project going on, but I was there right at the beginning of the project, kind of doing a presentation on different ways you could group plants together in a kind of retail environment. So kind of like, you know, a lot of my kind of like trying to think out the box kind of methods and stuff. And it was like, oh, maybe we can plant something seasonally. Maybe we can have a plant of the month. And then maybe strawberries, for example, we show every aspect due to strawberries, like strawberry jam, strawberry shortcake, but also strawberry bare root plants, strawberries in a basket. All the different ways you can use it to really get all that inspiration in one place. Because I think especially for beginners, like, let's think about tomatoes for a moment. Wouldn't it be great to go to the garden center, start to grow tomatoes as a beginner, but actually have everything you need there on the same bench?
Yes.
But you kind of have to go off and search here. Let's go get the compost. Let's go get the fertilizer. What about having it all there, even as a kit?
A
hamper. That would be cool to grow your own tomatoes. So trying to give a bit of insight of, you know, I'm primarily, you know, a mail order kind of boy, but I see retail from through a consumer's eyes almost, but a consumer with a bit more awareness. So I kind of like feel like I can step back and be like, oh, what haven't you thought of doing it like this? Or educating a little bit and getting the customer involved in the choice.
So like a shopper journey.
I think that really is it. And you know, I travel a lot. I see a lot of different countries and different garden centers in different countries. And I think like mostly in the Netherlands, I see they have a very good kind of journey through the garden center, kind of like IKEA, kind of going around, like you can't turn around or go back, but there are shortcuts.
Sophisticated
and kind of like, and you have got all you need in the right sections. And I think it helps to educate as well as help people buy stuff,
because
if you educate them, they'll come back. If they just buy it and they don't have the know-how, it might die, it might not perform, and then they haven't got the confidence to go back. Or they feel like they failed.
So not just A to Z of shrubs, you know, make it more interesting.
Needs to be something more, for sure.
Yeah, inspirational.
So have you had a chance to look at the two Talent Store pop-up stands.
I like the PetSafe one. Is very, very interesting the way they've curated that. That's certainly educational. The houseplant one is like bang on inspiration as well. You know, we've got this like
very
low
Insta.
Kind of almost like coffee table-ish thing and the Fittonia chair as well.
Yes,
is really
amazing.
Cool. And of course, these aren't necessarily take-homes, but they're kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of sparks you into what you could do with houseplants and gets you excited. And I think sometimes it's not about direct take-homes. It's just about exciting people and making people think about plants as often as they can.
So it's towards the end of the first day. Have you had a chance to have a look around the show?
Here and there. And I like picking out the new products. Like I know there's a new product arena, but I also like to challenge myself by spotting the new products on the actual stands.
Oh, blimey, so there's a lot of stands.
I know, so I tend to ignore the new product section. It's like, well, I'll see what I feel is new, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm a very independent woman like that. But there's some really cool stuff around, like, you know, even from the decorative stuff through to the new plants that are on show as well. But also, you know, I'm not necessarily a practical gardener, but there's some great tools out there and solutions, different types of bird feeders and like.
Oh, there's some lovely
the
bird
garden
feeders.
Centre experience is a lot now. It's not just plants, but it's also obviously the add-on stuff, you know, the gifting, but then pet care is a big area as well. It's really,
it's massive, isn't it?
Very interesting. And I don't know, maybe sometimes we feel a bit purist, like a garden centre should be just about gardens, but I think it's become
a destination,
garden and lifestyle,
isn't it?
Which is not a bad thing, because more people through the door, more people exposed to plants.
So how do you feel? I've noticed that there seems to be a bigger trend towards artificial plants. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of stands that are just purely artificial kind of trellis plants and lots of artificial plants. Do you have a stance on that?
I think it's a blend.
Okay.
And I think I've seen some wonderful gardens that actually blend faux with real to a great degree. And it's also like sometimes it's not as cut and dried as we imagine, because it might be about like the maintenance aspect, you know, maybe even when we talk about artificial grass, for example, you know, if, you know, someone's in a wheelchair, it's not going to be practical to have, you know, real grass that's then getting wet in the winter and kind of like sometimes practical reasons. I think it's about how you then dispose of it afterwards. And and I loved Elho, the pot company, where they were doing like the recycling the turf into making pots. And I think sometimes we kind of don't recognize those different projects that are then reusing the materials as well.
Like, very true.
Because I think there's always going to be a market for the faux, because sometimes growing plants is really out of the reach of people, and they maybe can't afford the repeat purchase that buying a living plant gives you, or they just want to have the feel good from plants, but they wouldn't practically be able to look after them, or maybe they've got dogs or kids. And so I think sometimes,
it's a good take,
isn't
it?
It's a blend, and I like to think everyone can be happy in their own little way as well. And
I like that, because I think we've said this before. It's
hard
very
to be
easy
too purist
to condemn.
On it. It
absolutely.
Really is. Yeah.
And it's very easy to condemn people for not doing this, not doing that.
And that's what we do end up doing sometimes
we
here
can
in
be
UK
a little
as well.
Bit,
and if you ask me the same question about bedding plants, you know, people can be sniffy about bedding plants.
Totally,
but for a lot of people, they want to grow bedding plants for affordability. Yep. Maybe they can only afford to buy them with their weekly shop when they're at Lidl or Aldi or something.
Yes.
But also maybe culturally as well. You know, you've moved here from India and you want to be surrounded by marigolds and colour.
Yeah, yeah.
And who are we to force everyone to grow Verbena bonariensis and Steeper gigantea? Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
So you talked about looking around the show and spotting new products, and you mentioned about, you know, in garden centres and that sort of thing. But you're also known for your show on QVC. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between a product that would work in QVC as opposed to one that worked in a garden centre? And what differentiation
Totally,
you make?
Actually, there was a lady here earlier. I was on her stand. She did these really beautiful like inserts for a vase.
Oh, we're going to get her on tomorrow.
Yeah. She's the lady.
I was there with Lily from YPHA, and we were kind of like, oh, this could be great for QVC. And I was like, well, no, not actually. Because it's a bit too premium, highbrow, high price point as well, which is not going to work. So we need to be honest about that. And she's got a product that's maybe better for like Fortnum & Mason or kind of like Liberty or something.
Right.
Which really be honest about. End. That's a compliment to someone. That's not not the opposite. And so we've got a specific demographic, which is generally 55 to 65 female, kind of buying a particular type of plant. And like, it's hard to move outside of that, but the education can happen there sometimes slowly. And of course, they do have a need for the folk that we mentioned, and they do have a penchant for ornaments that we might not like the appearance of. But it is each to their own, isn't it? You know, if you want a gnome or a gonk in your garden or a ballerina, then who are we to say what is good taste and what isn't?
I know.
You know what I mean?
So easy, it kind of
it is a very different demographic and and different in answer to your question to the garden centre, because it's very interesting because this season, like the garden centres obviously haven't done so well, but like QVC and like TV sales kind of sustained very well.
Really?
Because when you're watching TV, you're kind of buying a dream rather than going out in the weather and feeling like you're gardening now.
The weather's horrible.
And we're not responsible for the weather.
No, so kind of like, very true.
We're kind of selling stuff that happens later down the line.
Yeah.
And that has meant that it has, performed pretty well as well. And obviously when you're on QVC, you've got 6 minutes to do potential demonstrations, showing someone how to use the product. It's not just sitting there on a bench in a store. So there's really great ways that you can use that. And also even reflecting on retail compared to mail order, from my days at Thomson Morgan, there's so many different types of plants and products you can do by mail order that you can't buy retail. Because like a brilliant example would be like trailing begonias, apricot shades. They trail so much, they kind of get tangled up on the garden centre bench.
Right. So they don't look so good.
Buy them as a small young plant through mail order.
Right.
And that is the way to then get this amazing top-selling begonia in the UK. It doesn't look tidy on the garden centre bench. But
why can't you sell it as a plug on the garden centre bench?
You could, but plugs are kind of too... You generally go to the garden centre for stuff a little bit larger. Yeah. I know there is little plug sections, but it's kind of a different market and also a different price point that the garden centre wants to get to as well. But that's a great example. Also, geranium rosebud. It's not a tidy plant when it looks young. But it doesn't matter to the consumer, because as long as it looks sexy in a basket when it gets going, that's fine. But not everything looks good on a garden centre trolley. And not everything fits on a garden centre trolley. But when it's a young plant by mail order, you can sell that stuff. And you can also work with smaller numbers as well.
Yeah.
You know, I was always at Thomson Morgan hunting around in the skip to get rejects, because it was like, you might not have 100,000 for the garden centre, but this, you've got 10,000, which is going to be brilliant for a mail order exclusive.
Right.
And it's a rosebud flowered geranium. It's beautiful. Oh,
gorgeous. So, pretty.
Fantastic. When do you start planning for next year?
I never plan anything. Are you crazy? Who plans? I've told you about my 5-year plan, haven't I?
Yes.
I remind listeners in case they hadn't heard it. I don't believe in 5-year plans, because I think if you have a 5-year plan, all you do is sit there lazy until the end of year 4 and then you cram it all in like your homework. Don't have a plan, because when you've got a plan, you ignore anything on the side. You become really blinkered.
Yeah.
No, you just have a rough plan, but be able to pivot, be able to turn, you know, about turn, and you've got to be flexible. That's the thing. Otherwise, you miss opportunities. So, no, I don't have a plan, Phil.
Fair enough.
In answer to your question. And also, it helps you be dynamic. And like in this game, I'm sure you guys know, it's like, I don't know which flower shows want to book me next year yet. And, and also, I'm not... You just need to work with your diary dynamically, because I'm also not going to hound them to book me at the same time.
Yeah.
So you just have to just... Go with it. And that makes you, you know, it's not for everyone, but it makes you kind of easier to work with a little bit as well.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I like that. I do. We like that philosophy. Although we try and plan a lot, don't we, Phil? We
try to get some plans in place.
Well, there's really some stuff you need to, of course, booking in people for podcasts and that schedule of that and stuff. But
useful.
You should never be afraid to change the plan. I think that is the key.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Well, shall we call it a day there? What do you think?
It's been a long old day, and I'm sure you're tired,
Michael.
Am I your
last one, darling?
You're our last one, but not least at all. Oh,
thank you so much for making the time. I know how busy you are, Michael.
It's cool,
so
no problem.
Really appreciate it.
And lovely to see you.
You too.
Yeah, take care.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Up next, you'll be hearing our conversation with Glee director Matt Meehan. We spoke to Matt about planning for Glee 2024 way back in April, so we were excited to catch up at the end of the show's second day and hear how it was all going.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Really, really good, and thoroughly enjoyed the first 2 days at Glee.
Wonderful.
So
yeah, so we're right at the end of, or pretty much the end of the second day at Glee. How have things been going?
Do you know what? Beyond our expectations, I think.
Fantastic.
For this year. So just to have the buzz back in the show, I think that's the general ingredient, I think, that we've found over the last 2 days, just with everything that, in terms of how the show's come together.
Yeah.
Much, much better than we expected.
So why is there that buzz that maybe hasn't been there last year?
I think the industry's gone through some challenges over the last couple of years. The British weather hasn't helped either.
No.
So that's caused a few challenges. But positively, this industry, when it comes together, actually, it creates such a positive vibe.
It really does, yeah.
And that's what I've seen here. And a lot of encouragement for next year, looking ahead towards 2025. And what the future brings in terms of new products, mm-hmm. ideas, but also the retailers and the enthusiasm for buying. Yeah. The feedback we've had in terms of their shopping experience has been really,
really
positive.
Yeah,
we've got a fresh layout here as well this year. So,
yes, lots of people getting lost.
Yeah, great. Do you know what? That's good.
Of course it is. That's why supermarkets change things around all the time. Keeps you on your toes.
Absolutely. We've moved the milk around. It looks great on the other side. And it's moved people around where the milk is.
Absolutely.
So what have been some of the highlights for you so far?
Well, look, the main highlight is the 50th anniversary of Glee.
Of course.
And it's been incredible to celebrate that. So we opened the show yesterday with David Dominey.
Mr. Dominey, mm-hmm. yep.
And also supported alongside Hugh Richards, influencer.
I missed him. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. he was here yesterday with Gardena.
Okay.
Supporting Gardena. But also as well, we managed to bring together some exhibitors and visitors that have supported the show in quite a number of years. Yeah. In fact, one of our visitors, Derek Bunker at Alton's, has been to Glee for all 50 versions.
Goodness
me. Wow. So we have one visitor that was with us for the whole journey so far.
From the very amazing. First show.
So we gave Derek the privilege of using the garden shears to open the ribbon. Ooh. And come into the show, which was brilliant. It was incredible.
Did he love it?
He loved it, exactly. And then we had some familiar faces across the industry. Mm-hmm. So the likes of Jeff Aldridge from Woodlodge, mm-hmm. Again, a supporter of the show for over 25 years. Anthony Harker at Altico, and also some of the other guys that we attracted. So Charles Stubbs as well from British Garden Centres.
Yes.
Who've actually, between all of them, have seen their businesses grow incredibly since Glee started.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a lot of guests have said to us on all our previous episodes is how much they love the industry, how friendly everybody is. Mm. And you really see that. You really get that feeling. Yes, there's a bit of friendly rivalry and there is competition, but generally people want to talk to each other.
Yeah, it is. And it was encapsulated yesterday. Not just for the 50th anniversary. Yeah. We also had the Leaders for Change lunch that took place in one of the suites at the show, where we encouraged the CEOs of garden retailers plus some of the key exhibitors at the show to meet in a room.
Right.
What stays in a room normally? What goes in the room stays in a room. The Chatham House rules. But actually, It was great this year because Colin Squires joined us. Mm-hmm. Colin, I think, is in his late 80s now.
Oh, amazing.
You know, and he shared his experience of garden retailing, talking about the last 50 years.
So this is Colin Squires, as in Squires. Just
correct.
Just checking.
Yes, it is.
My goodness me.
And Colin was talking about the price of everything back in 1974, which is incredible. Yeah, I know. But talking about, you know, how not just what happened then, what's happening now, but also looking in the future. Mm-hmm. And that was inspirational to kind of hear someone's view that's got so much experience and seen so much change in the industry as to where he, you know, Colin thought the industry was going.
And was there optimism within that?
Yeah, it is optimism.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an industry, we're in a wonderful position because of the power of growing, the power of plants, and how we can be at the heart of what's going on.
Definitely.
In the future. But one of the things Colin had really highlighted, which I think is worth sharing, is around the industry, about how close it is, despite the challenges it has.
Yeah.
The industry will always talk to each other, mm-hmm. and there is a sense of really tight community here. And I think, actually, working in the past in other industries, I've never experienced anything like the garden industry in terms of, you know, the family businesses. Mm-hmm. It's less corporate.
Yeah.
And actually, it shares a lot of information with each other. Mm-hmm. If you look at other industries, for example, even the kind of FMCG market, no one shares anything.
No, they don't. No.
Here, they share everything.
Up to a point.
Yeah, there are a few things I don't know. But generally, there's a lot of knowledge sharing, and I think that benefits the whole industry.
No, I think you're right. We were talking to Ed Cantle from Gardena, just earlier on, and he was saying about the fact that he's obviously a member of GEMA Council, and they have this mentoring system, and he helps other GEMA members, and he's assigned to people and basically mentors them, gives them sort of ideas and that sort of thing. And I think you don't really get that so much in other industries. It's lovely to see, it really is.
One thing I've enjoyed is seeing the younger people coming through, and also the kind of the social media side of things. I'm not a massive social media person, but I really love this new generation that's coming through that are inspiring everybody to garden, and their reach is millions and millions of followers, really. And the way they're collaborating with so many different companies because they believe in it, and they really, they're not doing it for themselves. It's because they discovered lockdown during lockdown, a lot of them, and it's helped their mental health, it's helped their well-being, and they just want to push that forward. I've never seen so many influencers at Glee before, and I found that really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a real shake-up now with the next generation of gardeners coming through and influencers being at the heart of what's going on there. And we felt that at the show. I've seen a few influencers at the show, as I mentioned earlier, with Hugh Richards as well.
Yes,
And Michael Perry, of course, helping and working with us on future
plants.
Yeah,
he's brilliant,
You know, and the way Michael engages with an audience, it's great, it's fun. It's fun, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole stigma, perhaps, with gardening before. That is it for me?
Yes.
And actually it's for everyone.
Absolutely.
And I think it's breaking through those barriers, especially post-COVID now, and COVID really, where people had that as their main interest.
Yeah,
people have fallen in love with gardening.
Well, and houseplants, the bloom of houseplants, that has really taken off, and a lot of garden centres and businesses have embraced that. And that's so important not to let go of that.
Yeah, and that was emphasised in the talent store.
Yes, of course, the garden, Urban Oasis.
Urban Oasis.
I love that.
The planting in there was
beautiful.
Some really creative ideas there. Yeah. And also in Greenheart, we've got some really fab houseplant displays in there as well.
Yes, you have,
Likes of Horty House and people like that really lifting the bar.
Yeah, definitely.
So you should just explain, Green Heart is actually getting plants into the heart of Glee here, isn't it?
We've had Green Heart now for about 8 years, but Green Heart's now in the hall.
It used to be in the atrium.
It was in the atrium. Yeah. It's in the hall. It's an area where, we can showcase green in a slightly different way to other events that might be out there.
Yeah.
We use simple concepts of displaying plants on benches as they would perhaps be in a garden centre.
Yeah.
And it has that feel. We ask each of the growers to merchandise the products in a way that they should be merchandised in a garden centre. It's about them lifting the bar.
Uh-huh.
So we actually have best display as well in Greenheart.
Okay.
So we really encourage quite high standards of display. Yeah, we're just awarding that today. So.
Oh, brilliant. Lovely. And at the end of the day, the heart of gardening are the plants, is the greenery, isn't it? So you've got to have it.
I'll let you know the winner because it's going to be awarded later. So I think might be slightly later for the broadcast.
Yes, absolutely.
But we picked a winner, company called Anglo Aquatic.
I've seen them. Beautiful.
Yeah, really cool display.
Really cool.
But what they've done is just linked in sales. It's not just buying the plant.
Right.
It's buying all the other...
The accoutrements.
Yes, exactly. and creating that desire to shop and buy more than one product.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very tempting.
Selling in, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, isn't
Brilliant.
It?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You had the party last night. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great.
It was good fun.
It was great fun. We had to make some last-minute changes.
Was that because of the British weather?
Yeah.
Funny that.
It was. So the weather... But we always, in events, have to have plan B.
Of course.
And plan B was to use the Green Heart. So we had the party, which was kindly sponsored by Shark Ninja.
Yes.
And they managed to create some outdoor games and bring them along.
Yes, saw those.
We had some live music.
Yes.
And the band was incredible.
Yeah, they were really good.
They were loud.
They were loud and they were in
the
crowd.
Lots of energy. Yeah, Yes.
Which was great fun. And then on top of that, some birthday cake that the NEC had given us. So they kindly presented a birthday cake at the New Product Awards, and that was a very nice thing for them to present us with, and we shared the cake with as many visitors exhibitors that joined us in the party.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. No, I think we all partook, didn't we?
We did. We had
in the cake. So one of the things I particularly enjoyed was yesterday the 50, the heroes, the hero product, the hero person.
Yes.
What? How did you feel that went?
Really good. So we put it out for the vote.
Yep.
Across the Glee Daily News and GTN, and the response we had back was one of our biggest ever polls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Great.
Yeah. It I think it evokes some emotion for people to vote for people that have helped their careers or helped or people that they just really love in the industry.
Yeah.
And the winners, well, the heroes, were great names. Some really
proper heroes.
Yeah, really good heroes that came out. And and I think one of the heroes that we couldn't honour because of Peter Seabrook's sadly no longer with us. And Peter's son Roger will be coming along tomorrow, so we can present the honour of that to Roger.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah. So what are you going to do next year? How on earth are you going to top this year?
Well, we go again. It's one of those things that you're already starting to plan
you
for next year.
You finished now, you're still
here. It's 2025 already now
of
in our
course,
minds.
Yes.
So we're already there. We have a fresh layout for next year.
Mm-hmm. Another one.
Another fresh layout. We like to keep things fresh. It's part of a two-year journey, actually, with this venue to make sure that we can get the hall locations that we need.
Right.
So next year, Glee will be set into halls 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. So we're going to be in five halls.
11. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be a really great show. We're working with companies that haven't exhibited this year, hopefully returning because of the September date line. So certain companies didn't have the opportunity to book. They wanted to see the show to hopefully return, which is what we'd love to welcome them back. Yeah, we've had one or two companies looking already to secure space for next year, which is great news.
Yeah.
And we can see the show, you know, continue its sustainable growth and really create and be at the heart of the garden industry.
Yeah,
and it really is.
And so have you had a really positive response from us from moving back to September from everybody?
Yes, we have. I think it's worked really well. I think that the timing of the show now is suited towards dealing with some of the challenges around the issue around pricing, container orders, whatever it is, and the hotspot of when ordering's done, pre-season ordering, majority of it is later. It's in September to sort of end of October. That's the sort of hotspot that we found from the research. And it's emphasised at the show with some of the exhibitors taking really healthy orders here.
That's good. That's what it's about, isn't it?
it is. Yeah. And incredibly already, we've booked around about 50% of the space for next year so far.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's gone really well, actually. And that's due to some of the really strong exhibitor feedback that we've had over the last couple of days. But that fresh layout, again, will create that shopping experience we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And a prime spot for a podcast booth, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'd say. I think you've got a great spot here. And what an incredible studio you've created.
Oh, it's rather fab, isn't it?
It's really great.
Yeah, and we've had some, for us, the highlight has been all the different guests we've had. We've been speaking
really good
to a lot of people. But just what I love about Glee, sorry, Phil,
that's
I'm kind of taking over
on
a bit here. I love the variety of exhibitors you get. So obviously you get the big guys, you get the Evergreens, you get the Westlands, all these kind of, but then you get, like we had a lovely woman on yesterday, Rachel Yunson from Feverfew, and she's come all the way from Orkney. She's the kind of one woman business, and it's that passion, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I love about this industry.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've got 156 new companies at the show this year.
Remember you saying, yes, you did say on the last interview,
And some of the businesses are, familiar returning lapsed companies, but we've also got some really great new startup businesses.
Yeah,
you know, you get to see some really intriguing products.
Bevive.
Beavive. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, yes. Well, we're going to get them on the podcast, but
perfect
for next season because we can't fit them in tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
But a fabulous product.
Oh, it's a wonderful product. And the other product that I found at the show is a company called Potter. And they have an origami pot.
Interesting.
And it's really intriguing. But again, I talked to the owner. He'd set the business up during the pandemic because he wanted to create a new idea for this pot that he had.
Right.
And he's now just got it to market. And it's such a clever innovation.
So is it a flat pack? And then you can...
Yes.
That's what it is. So I might have come across this. How amazing. Yes.
And I think we're actually lining them up to come on the podcast.
Oh, okay. So,
there you go.
Yeah, fantastic.
The guy that runs the business is also a lecturer in design.
Okay. So he's
At Glasgow Uni. So it's really intriguing to see how it works, but also that journey of how he takes it to market.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, that would make a great podcast.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, one of my favourite things that I've seen is the talent store.
Yes.
So, obviously, before Glee, we interviewed the two teams.
Yeah.
And so that was great because it gave us a really good insight into their thinking and what they were going to be doing. But actually seeing that come to life is really lovely to see, you know.
Yeah. And good to see people being inspired, and you know, and I love the collaboration that is between we've got Boyd and
Michael Perry and Debbie Flaherty.
And just getting that inspiration and that advice and that help and that mentoring is such an important part of the industry.
Yeah, it is. We sat there on that original training day.
Oh, you were part of that.
Yeah, back at Millbrook Garden Centre on a very cold, wet day.
Oh.
Back in April, I think was at the time.
Yeah,
and to see how the two ideas have come alive in that time, and the actual enthusiasm, engagement, and how they've grown in confidence to create those two themes. I think one was Urban Oasis, and the other one was pet friendly.
Pet friendly,
But seeing the ideas shaping and then delivery, and they're both installations, I would say, that would work in a garden centre.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were talking to about installations.
Was it Michael Perry?
Just about how garden centres can just go that little bit further, just to kind of encourage people and get sell-ins as well. So you're not just got compost, plants, plant food. You're kind of combining it all together to make a lovely shopper experience, which is kind of what you got here at Glee, isn't it?
It is, definitely. Painting by numbers, I think, for a consumer to go into a store and say, I want to bring this idea together.
Yeah.
And I think the LinkedIn sales concepts are really, really, you know, where the future is, I think, or getting better at it. There's been lots of ideas and inspiration to see around the show on those kind of concepts as well.
It's just fascinating. It really, really is.
Yeah. So something we've not talked about yet, and that was the new product awards.
Yes.
So how did that go for you?
Yeah, really well. We crammed it into one day this year. So so the team of judges that put it together would normally in previous years do it over 2 days. But we wanted to get the answers out on day one.
Right.
So the judges had to work that bit harder.
That's a long day.
A very long day. But, you know, the ideas, the innovation, again, in the marketplace this year is incredible.
Yeah.
Mm. And there were 12 really worthy winners in terms of the category winners.
Yes.
And the amount of entries we had, I think we were up to nearly 350-odd entries, I think.
Right. That's a heck of a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to judge.
Yes.
And I did
in
actually.
In one day.
Yeah. And we welcomed the judges back about 10 o'clock in the evening on Monday night.
Really?
Yeah, they had a long day here.
They really did, didn't they?
Yeah. Which is then switching the emphasis to the shortlisted finalists to present on stage.
Yeah.
I think because they've been up quite late. I'm sure there's some probing questions coming back to those shortlisted companies.
Well, Matt, listen, I know you're a really busy man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving up your time just to come and see us and tell us how things are going. So good luck with the rest of the show.
And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, our conversation with Director of Fundraising for Green Fingers Charity, Linda Patrons. We caught up with Linda on the morning of Floral Thursday to hear what it was all about.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Phil. It's a real pleasure to be here today.
Lovely to have you. So, Linda, it's the final day. It's Floral Thursday at Glee. what's it all about?
Floral Thursday is an amazing initiative that started a few years ago, where we wanted to create a bit of an atmosphere, a bit of fun on the last day of the show. So we're encouraging people to wear their best florals or their worst.
And seen some dodgy ones around.
There's a few of those. Sean Elkins mentioning no names.
And it just creates a real buzz around the show, and it helps to raise the profile of Green Fingers. And it's surprisingly, there's been quite a few people today saying we don't know what Green Fingers is about, but it's really great to use this platform as an opportunity to learn more about you. So that's really good.
Oh, that's great, because often on the last day of these kind of shows, everybody starts to kind of, the tiredness creeps in, the hangovers, and everybody's like, energy goes right down. So, you know, it's great for Green Fingers, but it's also really good for the show as well, isn't it? Because it just G's everybody up a little bit.
It does. And what it really does is we've actually spoken to quite a few people this morning who we perhaps wouldn't have otherwise, because they're wearing a floral dress or a floral shirt. And, and they actually now want to know about the charity. So
that's brilliant.
It's just amazing.
So I saw some photos on LinkedIn this morning that Kate Evans had posted up of her, Trevor, Heidi Towles from Blue Diamond, and Michael Perry all wearing matching outfits going for a run. I mean, it was quite something. Can you tell me what was going on there?
Well, you know, floral lycra. You know, if you don't like floral, you don't like this isn't a place to be. But
Lycra.
Kate is doing this amazing challenge. She's challenged herself to run 5K every day for 366
days. That is incredible.
So she's every month she's gathering a group of friends to do a run, and it could be in a local park, it could be an organised run.
Right.
But today, you know, what better place to do it than at Glee at the NEC with a group of brilliant chums who are all up for a laugh. And what's really brilliant about those particular images is Trevor Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Was the brains behind Floral Thursday. So,
fantastic.
So he's
He does love a floral shirt, doesn't he? Not just on Floral Thursday.
Yes. And he's actually donated a load to us. Hey, man, Boyd, Douglas Davis donated some. So, you know, if you're not wearing a floral shirt and you really want to be part of the fun day, there's
which
some on the
you
green exactly. There's some on the Green Fingers stand. Yeah. So,
or get one for next year.
Get one for next year,
absolutely. And will you be doing it next year again, kind of selling off shirts? I think that's a great initiative.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, the more the merrier. If anybody wants to donate their shirt or their floral shorts or whatever it is you're wearing today, then yeah, we're happy to take them, back with us and bring them next year.
So can you give us a little bit of background to the Green Fingers charity, Linda?
Green Fingers is so we're a national charity. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, so we've been around a long time. And we've built almost 70 gardens in children's hospices right across the country.
70.
So our 70th garden will be down in Arundel in West Sussex, at Chestnut Tree Hospice. And we're building an amazing kitchen garden there. So yeah, it's a very exciting project. But you know, each garden we build makes a difference to at least 350 children and their families every single year.
And the people who work at the hospices as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a really important point, actually, Phil. I think during COVID we all got to really feel the benefits of outside spaces.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hospice staff also need that bit of release, I suppose. When they're dealing with some really traumatic and upsetting situations, and being outside in a really lovely environment is a perfect place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does it mean for the charity to have the support of Glee, you know, on a day like today?
Glee have been amazing supporters of Green Fingers for many, many years. And you know, for us to be here at the show where a lot of our supporters are, gives us a really good opportunity to meet them in a very different situation setting, I think. And on a day like Floral Thursday, it's, you know, everyone feels a little bit more relaxed, I think. And it's just brilliant, and it's great to be part of the show, where so many of our supporters are either exhibiting or are visiting, and and chatting to...
Gives them a chance to come and chat to you a bit more as well. Yeah. And you to network with some other people that maybe aren't supporting you yet.
Absolutely. It's great. I will say it's great, a great place to meet existing supporters, but a great place also to meet new.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so how long have you been coming to Glee as Green Fingers?
Oh, well, I've worked for the charity for almost 10 years.
Oh, goodness.
We started coming way before I joined.
It's really ingrained in the whole Glee tradition. Yeah. And how long's Floral Thursday been happening?
Probably about 3 or 4 years. Oh, 4 years, I think.
I think it's got to be, maybe 5, actually. I'm just thinking that I'm sure it happened before COVID.
Yes, yeah, so possibly
that's
5 years.
That's nearly 5 years, isn't it?
And it's raised a lot of money as well.
So how does it raise money, Linda? I think that's something which... I think maybe some people aren't really aware of. So they go, oh, everybody's wearing a floral shirt or a dress, but how does that raise money?
So I think a lot of exhibitors would have seen us at the entrances.
Yes.
Fleecing everyone.
Hunting us down.
Fleecing, I don't think that's the right word to use as a fundraiser.
giving us the opportunity to purchase raffle tickets.
That's the one.
For a wonderful cause.
Yes. So, yeah, we stand at the gate, at the entrances, selling raffle tickets, and it's, half past one. It's a great opportunity to get everybody in their florals together, draw a raffle, and... the exhibitors are so generous. We get some amazing prizes.
Oh,
so.
Really? What's top prize this year?
Oh, it's secret.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I think you have to be on the stage at 1:30 to find out what they all are.
Okay. Bag of compost.
And is anything else happening today as part of Floral Thursday? Is it just the raffle tickets and the raffle?
Yeah, it's the raffle. What I've noticed walking around the halls, there are a few people wearing sort of... painted faces.
Yes.
So there's a face painter on one of the stands.
On Ames. Painting flowers.
Which is amazing. The company opposite us, actually, the face painter was very keen to make sure that the flowers matched her dress.
Oh, so, lovely. Yeah, I want to get a succulent to match my headband.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You should maybe do that. Because those succulents are gorgeous.
Yeah. So there's also an award, though, isn't there, for the best dressed team. Is that right? Is that still happening?
Yeah, that's still happening.
Is it the best dressed or the worst dressed?
The most floral. Floral-tastic.
Floral-tastic. I think there's a team prize and a prize for individuals as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
and you get everyone up on stage, don't you? Try and get as many people as possible dressed in the floral finery for big pictures for Trevor for GTN News and the Glee coverage. Is that right? That's still happening as well?
Yeah, that's still happening. 1:30, we want everyone there on stage.
Right.
It's great. What's really great is we use that photograph all year round.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
It's always a brilliant one.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, Linda is a tremendous charity and, we as a podcast are fantastic supporters of yours. So wish you all the best for the rest of today.
Absolutely.
And for the rest of the year. And I hope everything goes well. So all the best.
And see you on the stage at 1:30.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for everything you guys are doing to support our work and promote us. You're brilliant. Absolutely great. It's great working with you.
Oh, lovely. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com.